We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And it's also Today in Ag with Jancy Rippetoe on KECO today. Jancy's back in the studio. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It is. I've missed you a lot. And a lot of other people. You know, you're pretty popular with the listeners. Hey, when are you going to have that cute little girl back on? I really like listening to her. And that's no lie. I'm not saying that because you're setting over there. Well, anyway, hey, how about that rain? Did you guys get some rain out at your place?
Yes, we did.
What'd Paul Toe get?
1.6 Paul Toe told Carter this morning.
Oh, cool. And the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. If you want, text in your rain amount and where you were at when you at home. Butler rain. I guess Butler, according to the Mesonet, got 5 inches is what I'm showing. And friend of mine over at West Sayre got a couple inches. And looks like everybody got at least an inch except for this dark hole I seen on my radar map that extends from Sandy Sanders over there, the wildlife management area, down towards just north of Mangum, to up to Willow, over towards Granite. There was a donut hole there. And it looks like they might have just got a couple tents there. But anyway, text in your mounts from all over. I want to know who's I've seen Jeremy Pence from down there south of Altus in Jackson County. He got right at 4 inches, which is great. So anyway, they got their ponds filled up. That rain this morning, you know where the concrete creek is over here? Have you ever noticed it? All right, there's a concrete creek that I call it on Broadway right here. It comes out of Haynes and the bar there, and it was running full a while ago. And so it was good. Kent Watkins is also in the studio with me from SEI Agritech. We're going to go over some good stuff today, especially since we got some rain going. Carter Rippetoe is also in the studio. We don't know why, but he's in here hanging out. I think just to annoy his sister.
He wanted to come, so I told him he could come.
Such a sweet sister. And then you treat her like you do, Carter. Anyway, we're live on Facebook. We're streaming live on our website, kcofm.com. We're on the radio. Let's do a quick update on the markets. And you got the Oklahoma cash grain prices over there. So tell us what you got.
Okay, wheat prices are down 38 cents at 10.59. Your corn prices are down 21 cents at 7.63. Milo is down 21 cents at 7.21. And your soybeans are up 7 cents at 16.16.
Good, thank you. Live cattle, it looks like live cattle. Everything on the livestock side is up today. June for live cattle is 132.40. August is 132.65. October is 137.77. December is 143.55. Feeder cattle are up also quite a bit, actually, like 3.8 and 3.5. December is 143.55. And, ooh, that was the wrong one, sorry. August is 168.97. I was like, man, if feeder cattle's that price, we're in trouble. September is 171.67. Lean hogs is 109.47. July lean hogs 111.82 and August 108.90, and cotton is down a little bit, but it's still up there at 139, and sugar by the pound is almost 20 cents for Mr. Bill Dance out there in the Delhi area. Mr. Brian's Silk, you know him?
I do.
Yeah, he likes me to give updates on sugar because he thinks he's sweet, but he's not. But anyway, there we got that going on. Carter, step up to the mic, buddy. Loud and close. How's farming season been for you so far?
Good.
And is it, you been, did you tear up anything yet?
I've only broke one bell spike so far.
Really? Mm-hmm. Just one?
Just one.
How many bells have you hauled?
A little over 300.
That ain't bad. Have you got to run the baler yet?
No.
How come? Too young?
That's my dad's job. He likes
me. He didn't trust you on that high-dollar tractor and baler, if I was guessing.
No.
You run the swather yet?
No. I was going to, but we had someone else do it.
I got you. Yeah, he had second thoughts on you, probably.
Yeah.
He's going to train Jancy to run the swather.
Oh, Lord.
So what's next in line for you guys on the farmer side? Got all the planting peanuts in the ground, right?
Yeah.
Didn't plant no cotton?
No.
Didn't plant no cotton. You got your cover crops in?
Yeah, we're sowing some peas up by Hex.
Okay.
Did that yesterday.
How many acres over there?
No idea.
That's what I thought his answer would be. You're supposed to, if you're going to help your dad with his operation, you're going to have to figure it out.
I don't know how to figure that stuff out. I just drive the tractor and do whatever he tells me.
Oh, he's a smart kid, isn't he? Anyway, you didn't run over deer horns yesterday like me, did you?
No.
That's going to be kind of costly, I'm afraid.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I bet you did think it was funny. How come you didn't when shed hunting and found that one? It was on your grandpa's.
I have no part of that.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Jancy, you got a lot coming up.
Yes, I do.
What's happening? I hear you guys are going on the circuit tour this summer.
We are.
What are you going to do?
We leave a week from this next Monday for Iowa for the World Pork Expo.
Tell me a little bit about that. Is that Barra and Gilt, or is
yes,
it Gilt only?
Barra's and Gilt's, but they do have a rule where you can only show crossbreds if you bring one purebred. So you have to have a purebred for every crossbred up there.
I got you.
So
I bet you got that figured out, don't you?
Yes, we do. This is the first time I've had purebreds since I was probably 10 or 11. I haven't had anything besides crossbreds in a long time.
Well, what do you got?
I have a Burke and a Duroc.
All right. Well, hey, you got something going on. Is that Burke kin to the one that the famous Lexi Smith was showing?
I don't think it is.
And you wouldn't tell me if it was anyway.
No, I would keep that as a secret.
All right. Well, we got a few texts in. Let's see what's going on in there. Be nice to Carter. That's the first text I got. Anyway, we got, I am nice to Carter. We got 2.4 at Hollis. And 2.4 at Hollis, 1.6 north of Gold, and south of Gold, 4.2. That's pretty good. And then be nice to Carter. I'm sure he has way better tractor driving skills than you. I doubt that, but anyway. So anyway, well, when we come back, Kent's going to talk about a few things. One of them being the armors, the five armors of soil. And then now that we've started getting this rain, because I'm going to say this rain here, as widespread as it was, it's probably going to take us out of the D3 and maybe back us off to the D2 and the drought monitor. But this is perfect weather to get cover crops, so we're going to talk about that when we get back. So I got Jancy and Carter in the studio. Carter just a visitor. Jancy works here for me. Jancy, did I see you talking to Gabe a while ago?
Yeah. Hey, Dad, me and Gabe were talking about me getting paid, but he won't talk wages until you call him back on some stuff, so.
I'm sorry, that was funny. Anyway, that's one way to get Chad Ripitoe to call you back on the radio. Anyway, and your daughter called you out, Chad. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma.
The first time I ever saw a flyer for XIT Auctions, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called it Exit Auctions, and I said it on air while hosting Tradio, which made it pretty embarrassing. Aubrey Latham had to call up here at the station and make sure I knew how to say it correctly. XIT is moving a lot of property and a lot of farm equipment. For all the info, go to their website, xitauctions.com. xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living, that's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He came back to the office, was signed all the papers and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
64 degrees, humidity's 98. So far in Elk City this morning, 1.41 inches of rain has fallen, and it came down like, I mean, the sky's let loose there about 9:30 this morning. The wind's basically nothing out of the northeast at 3 miles an hour. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Range forecast for you coming up later in the hour. Chancy, have you guys been doing any barbecuing outside?
We have not.
Hell yeah. Have you ever heard of the Taylor Ranch?
I have not.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. Hey, all you grillers out there, are you ready to up your game? Taylor Ranch beef is your answer. No matter what your skill level, from beginner to the master griller, starting with the Taylor Ranch beef will take you to the next level. The majority of Taylor Ranch beef grades prime. So prime your grill with Taylor Ranch beef. Your family and friends will appreciate and enjoy your decision. At Taylor Ranch, they develop every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free is also available. For more information, contact 405-609-4662. Again, that's 405-609-4662.
Next week, you and I might take a run out to the Taylor Ranch.
That's fine with me.
It's a big old ranch between here and Elk City and Cheyenne. And what? You know you're live on Facebook, right? You're doing the homeboy stuff. So anyway, yes, the Taylor Ranch is great. Their beef's great. Their operation's great. And it is the Taylor Ranch happy hour today. And if you're watching on Facebook, I got the Taylor Ranch cap on. And that's the sponsorship today. Well, Kent, it's your day of the month.
Yeah, it rained and everything's wonderful again. You would think that Jimmy Taylor would give us all half a beef.
Oh, yeah, you would think.
You would think.
Yeah.
Bet he doesn't, but you would think that he would.
Wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe the cost involved.
It's still way cheaper in the store and way better.
That's true.
I might go out on a limb here because I'm pretty sure at least 99.9% of his beef is prime.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah, and if not 100%. So I thought I'd just back it off of like 0.01% and see if I get a text from him.
Yeah. Well, he buys cover crop seed from me, so yeah. That's probably the reason that that's what's going prime most of the time.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
What I'm thinking. No,
well, how about all this rain?
Okay, so we finally got some rain, and we, like you said before, I think we'll get out of the D3 and D4. And so now we can go forward with cover crops and cotton, peanuts, all the summer crops we grow. We need to go forward with them. The thing I want to start with again today is the thing I always start with is the five pillars of soil health. And the first one is for us on the south. The first one is always armor on the soil. So keep it covered all the time. And if you don't, Mother Nature will. And she'll probably cover it with broomweed, ragweed, and thistles. And that's probably something you don't want to cover it with.
Right.
Low disturbance. So leave the tillage equipment parked as much as you can. I'm not saying stop it, but slow it down a bunch. And then over time, you'll find the benefits of stopping completely. Living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible. Because you got to remember, you're still trying to take care of the underground life forms, the microbes and all that. So they have to have the living root to be able to reproduce and go forward. So keep that going as much as you can. And then diversity. Diversity in the plant species, like in a summer hay crop or grazing crop, four or five grasses, one or two legumes. As many different species as possible. And I will say this, when you do that versus a monocultural, let's just say a sorghum Sudan by itself, the chances of that sorghum Sudan in our summers here of either getting a nitrate too high or accumulating prussic acid is very high. If you put it in a mix, I haven't seen that in 8 years of doing this. I've never seen a diverse cover crop test high in prussic acid.
Hey, what are you doing?
Now, I have seen them test high in nitrates if you fertilized ahead of the cover crop.
Right.
But that's a good way not to have to buy fertilizers. Let the legumes do that work for you.
Right.
Okay.
Well, to touch on what you just talked about right there, yesterday I had a guy text in and said once you cut like Johnson grass, if you got Johnson, because Johnson grass is part of the Sudan family, but anyway, they all get the same thing. Johnson grass probably worse than any of them, but he said if you cut it, that prussic acid will go away. Is that true?
Okay, so prussic acid's accumulated in the joints.
Okay.
Of the plant, so if you swath it down, and any of the grasses, the annual grasses like that, or Johnson grass, not annual, but any of those grasses like that, if you have a crimper on your swather, run it, crush those joints the best you can at the swathing, and then over a little bit of time, you know, the prussic acid will
leach out.
It will gas away.
Okay.
Yeah, it will gas away.
Okay. That answers
now the
question.
Nitrates.
No, they ain't going to go
they're
nowhere.
They're not going anywhere. So be careful with that. But you could still use high nitrate hay if you have a grinder.
Right.
And then you can adjust the amounts that you put in, and you can get by
right.
with that. But just leave the fertilizers out, and then you don't have a lot of problems.
Yeah, that's
right.
As long as we got moisture.
That's right.
Yeah, as long as we got moisture. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and then the last one is livestock. Incorporate the livestock where you can. Some farms you can. Some farms you can't. You don't have water. It doesn't have a fence, whatever. But if you can, it'll get you there a lot quicker. And right now with urea at $800 or more, I think it would have been a lot cheaper for these cotton guys to incorporate the cover crops last fall and accumulate 50 or 60 pounds of N for about $15 an acre. So
that's a lot cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper. And it's going to be a lot cheaper going forward.
And some of them, I noticed some of the cotton farmers, they did. They incorporated some stuff.
Yeah. And, I've had a few of them talk to me about it, and their concern is, let's say the hairy vetch, because it's the most aggressive. They don't want to have to deal with that. Having escapes
in their cotton field when it comes to cotton harvest that next fall. I can promise you with the amount of 2,4-D and dicamba those guys are running, there's not going to be any escapes.
There's not going to be any escapes.
There won't be.
Okay.
The last thing I will tell you, if you're still tilling, when you look behind the tractor at your tillage equipment, that dust that you see blowing away, that's your equity blowing away.
Micro.
It's you're releasing the carbon footprint that you've sequestered over time. You're releasing it back to the atmosphere to blow away, and then whenever that ground crusts over, that's the bad bacteria eating your organic matter that you're trying to accumulate, but the bad bacteria is eating it, and that's why it crusts. It doesn't crust because it got rained on or the heavy dew or anything like that. It only crusts because the bad bacteria
is settled.
They are eating the organic matter, and that's what they leave behind.
What do you say to the, I hear this a lot, and my crops do a lot better when I till it.
I understand what they're saying. I can tell you that there is no statistical information, university study or otherwise, that proves that point.
Okay.
It appears that they do. It appears that their growth rate is better. In reality, that's statistically not true. Now, I will tell you that when you a lot of people have been doing the no-till for a lot of years, if they remember back to when they started, there was a transition year. Typically, it was in year number three where that crop didn't do as well. And then after that, it caught up and they moved on with it. And you will have that with cover crop, with no-till cover crop too. You will have a year, probably in year number two, that it doesn't look like it did as well. But in year number three and going forward, it'll far surpass what you've been doing before. Especially from an economic standpoint, because you don't have the tillage cost to begin with. And that right now, that's costing a lot of money to till an acre of ground.
Yeah, I was talking to the kids before you got here. I just about fell over when I filled the tractor up the other day. $501.20, and I had a little over an eighth of tank in there.
That's right. Yeah, it's over $5 a gallon. And I saw a report from last week from J.P. Morgan, and they think that the J.P. Morgan analysts think that by the end of the summer, Labor Day, gas will be, on a national average, gas will be over $6.20, and diesel will be approaching $10. That's road diesel. So take your road tax off. It's still
$9.
Yeah, it's nine something.
$8.59. Well, you know, he's talking about the no-tillage. You know, I no-till, and I got a no-till drill, a true no-till drill. And you think about this. Okay, well, you still got to go out there and spray. Yeah, but you're spraying 80, 90 foot at a time, and you're getting over your ground lickety-split and not going back. So your fuel bill's not going to be near as high.
Not nearly as high. And I will tell you, this year especially, with the no rain deal that we've had up until two weeks ago and today, I wouldn't be tilling much of this ground because of the amount of wind we've had. And then as far as running the sprayer, if you don't have noxious weeds out there, like thistles or something like that, and you're going to plant a cover crop, I would recommend you probably just go ahead and plant straight into whatever's out there, like the wheat, rye stubble, oats, whatever it was, and just go on with it and don't worry about it. It doesn't have to look like the back nine at Augusta. You know, we're trying to make it usable, so don't worry about what it looks like.
If you're just joining me, I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on here. Jancy Ripto's back in the studio helping me today. And we'll be right back after this and talk about some more stuff here in just a minute. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 27th. 1,069 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 281 brought 204. 5 at 492 brought 178.50. 3 at 568 brought 176. 8 at 621 brought 171.50. 10 at 729 brought 152. 5 head of heifers at 379 brought 170. 4 at 465 brought 164. 6 at 527 brought 159. 5 at 627 brought 153.50. 5 at 766 brought 137. Butcher cows were 7 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 67 to 114. Bred cows were 775 to 1125. Pairs brought 725 to 1400. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First up is Thursday, June the 2nd. We're expecting 3,000 cattle, depending on the rain, whether it slows us down or not. Here's what we have in the yard Tuesday evening. From Davis, Oklahoma, 30 steers, Nevers, 4 to 450, long wheat. Canadian, Texas, 60 heifers at 8. Seymour, Texas, 130 steers at 8. Chattuck, 126 steers, Nevers, 6 to 8. Moreland got 46 steers, 8.5. Putman, 91 steers, 8 to 9. Cheyenne, 51 heifers, 7.5. Amarita, 137 steers, 8 to 850. Moreland, 173 steers, 8.5. Shamrock, Texas, 61 heifers, 7.5 to 8. Moreland, 34 steers, 8.5. And May, 62 steers, 8 to 9. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle. Unless the weather slows us down, give us a call to find out what time we'll start. We'll see you this Thursday. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Jancy's, can you hear me?
I can.
Good, I can hear you too. Cool, that's good. Currently it's 65 degrees, humidity's 97, winds are out of the north-northeast, 7 miles an hour. Coming up in the next segment, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And we got rain. We got rain in the forecast. Well, joining us in the studio right now is Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. And Kent was talking with us before we went to break about the armors of soil and some other stuff, no-till versus conventional. And let's just pick it right back up where we were.
Okay, so let's shift into the 16 essential elements for plant growth.
Okay.
All right. So the first three everybody knows is N, P, and K. Those are the macros. They're called that because you use them in a lot larger amounts than you do, obviously, the micros. So when you look at your soil test, and I hope everybody got one, this would be the year, would have been the year to get a soil test so you're not overspending.
Yes.
If you just got an old university type lab soil test, then the potash number that you get back is a calculation. It's not a true test because you can't do a potash test in a few days. That takes several days to do. So for time's sake, they don't do them. They just calculate it. So the benchmark number that you're looking for is 300 parts per million in K in potassium. The number that you're likely getting back from those labs are somewhere in the low 100s to maybe the mid-range 100s.
You've been looking at my soil test.
I saw your soil test. Yeah, it's in the middle. It's about 150.
Right.
Which isn't horrible.
Nope.
But it's not close to what you really need in the soil. That takes time to get that there, And that application should be made in the winter months, in December or January, especially if you're growing peanuts, because potassium will rob calcium. So you want to get that in the ground, you know, December for peanuts, to let it have time to melt out, get in the soil. It doesn't move very fast. It's somewhat mobile, but not nearly like nitrogen or sulfur. So you want it to get it below that pegging zone, so that when you apply your calcium, if you apply calcium, and most do, then you won't, the potash won't be robbing the calcium from the peanuts.
Gotcha.
Because if you rob the calcium from the peanuts, you set up disease, sclerotinia, pod rot, pythium, all those. And it, then you have to go buy fungicides, and it's just a big vicious circle.
Expensive circle.
Expensive circle. So, okay, that's the K. The P, the phosphorus, you would just look at your percent sufficiency on those, on your chart that you got, on your report that you got back. So you would just go 65% sufficiency is full. That's all you want. So if you're there or close to there, don't add any more until you actually need it. And then the N number, that depends on what crop you're growing. Wheat, that would be a split application, one in the fall, one in the spring typically. Obviously, you wouldn't do any nitrogen for a legume like peanuts.
Right.
Okay, so then we go to calcium. Calcium goes from macro to micro, depending on the crop that it's being used for. So in a macro situation, that would be peanuts, because they need a lot of calcium. In a micro for calcium, that would be wheat. Wheat doesn't use much, so it doesn't need a lot. And then the remainders, they are true micros. They don't need much of any of the others. But the others are important, zinc, boron, you know, sulfur is, it goes back and forth depending on the crop as well. But there's molybdenum and manganese, several of them. So they need to be looked at as the crop grows through the petiole samples, leaf samples from the crop. And you can send them to different labs and get results back in a few days. And then the next time you go spray something, if you're short on something, it'll show up on that report. You can apply it and put it in with everything else that you're going with.
Gotcha. Well, talking about cover crops, you know, I think we touched on it last month when you was in here about mixing the different things for a cover crop, not just having one kind of plant. And I was talking to you to see if you had a legume. I don't even know if a legume would do me any good, but it's going to be worth the effort to me, the cowpeas, to mix in with the sorghum that I'm planting and the millet, because the deer.
Right.
The deer. But if it'll get started and get rooted in, it's got to help a little bit.
Yeah, it'll help a lot. So the two legumes that we have for the summer that work here is cowpeas. Anybody can grow a cowpea.
Right.
And sun hemp. Sun hemp is a tropical, so you wouldn't use a lot of it because it's going to require quite a bit of water versus the rest of them. But they're both great nitrogen fixers. And if you're growing something for grazing or hay, the cattle love them, so put them in. And then the grasses that we offer is a BMR hay grazer, BMR sorghum Sudan, BMR pearl millet, German R millet, and a red top cane. I've been looking for a few years for red top, finally found some to bring it back. I do want to back up and add to what I said about the 16 essential elements. When fertilizer prices are as high as they are now, that's when the snake oils come out and the snake oil salesmen come out. High fertilizer prices bring out the snake oil salesman.
Yep.
So snake oils are typically two bull snakes and a water moccasin in a jug. I'll just tell you flat out there.
Who wins?
Yeah, who wins? The snake oil salesman wins. Okay. Now, there are good alternative products out there. There are compost teas, and there are those kinds of things. But if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. and there are no miracles in a jug. I'm sorry, there's not.
Right.
Because if there was, they'd have brought them out 40 years ago.
Right.
And there are some good things out there, but you really need to weigh those against the dollars invested versus what their return is.
Because there is some stuff that you can add with whatever you're applying, mm-hmm. liquid-wise. It's basically liquid manure or pink moss and stuff mixed together. But there's some other stuff that, like I said, arsenic.
Yeah. Compost tea is probably what you're referring
yes,
to.
Yes, that's exactly
and
right.
That's fine. I mean,
that's Jim Bonnick's the way I said it.
Jim Bonnick's, I see. Well, the compost tea, if done correctly, is good. But if you at the manufacturing level, if you aerate it too much, especially towards the end of the process, then you wind up with bacterial cyst in the fluid. You're already in a bacterial system. You're trying to move out of a bacterial system into a fungal system. Now, like a forest would be 100%, or a jungle, forest or jungle would be 100% fungal. So you're not looking for that, but you are looking for something less than that to get into a fungal system so that the microbes and all can do most of the work for you.
Right.
So be careful when you're buying the compost tea. I'm not saying they're bad, they're not, but if they're not done correctly, it can be a real train wreck for you, because what you're winding up spraying out there is bacterial cyst. You don't need any more bacteria out there. We're trying to move away from that.
Carter?
What?
Are you awake?
Yeah.
Have you learned anything from Kent?
A little bit.
You got a question you want to ask him?
No.
You didn't think long enough, did you?
No.
Because you were learning. So you're going to let that soak in, right?
Yeah. Cool.
He's going to ruminate on that.
Jancy, have you figured out anything you want to ask Kent?
I do not.
Because he explains it pretty quick.
Yeah, it was explained pretty well, I thought.
No, it's funny anyway. But, so do you got a lot of your the grasses and the legumes, you got a bunch of that in stock right now?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We've been, since the first rain 10 or 12 days ago.
And getting it in?
We've been blending like it's going out of style. And today we can't, but tomorrow when it clears off, we'll be rolling again.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got orders on the table now to blend, so it's just we'll just keep going with it until it's over.
Well, you said you got the red top back in, and you've been trying to get it. What's been the reason behind not being able to get it? Popularity? It just
Yeah, when all the BMRs came out,
right.
You know, some years ago, red top was not sexy anymore. The BMRs were, so that's what everybody went to. And so I've gone back to look at the old stuff to see what worked.
Right.
And it fits in a cover crop really well. It's really sweet. It's got a high Brix, can have a high Brix. So the cattle, livestock, whatever you're running, they're going to like it. And we finally found some, and we're putting it back in slowly but surely to basically reintroduce it to a new generation.
Yeah, because I liked it.
Yeah.
It was not because it's popular, just it made, I put it up for hay.
Sure.
But I'm sitting here listening to the ones you just read off, and what caught my attention was, you know, you got the cowpeas, the hemp, and then you got your Sudan and your hay grazer, and then now you're talking about the red top. Am I thinking correctly, is all those plants got different levels or depths of root systems?
Absolutely.
And that, what you said a couple months ago, that's the key?
Yes. Yeah, so the deeper rooted stuff, like the cowpeas, the hemp has a really good root tap root. So it's going to drill down deep. The cowpeas will go deep. And then those will bring moisture and nutrients to the mid-level rooted stuff, like the Sudans.
Yeah.
And then those will bring them on up to the shallower rooted grasses like German or millet.
Yeah.
And so we used to think that they competed for moisture and nutrients. They don't.
They help each other.
They share. They share across those different horizons. And it's a collaborative effort out in the field. That's why if you plant each one of these crops as a monoculture, Carter, that means one species is all you have out there. So if you plant them singularly as a monoculture, in the summers we have, the chances of them burning up and dying is very high because they don't have any help. They get to whatever rooting depth they go to, and if there's not adequate moisture and nutrition there, you're done. That's why some of these hay grazers and all will get prussic acid in them, because they're under stress. They start to twist and turn, and they wind up being no good. But if you put all of those species in a mix and just plant them, quit worrying about drill separation and all that. That doesn't happen. I've had a lot of people say they're going to separate in the drill. And I've told them all, if you can, after the crop comes up, if you can show me in the field where it's separated, I want to see it. I have yet to have one phone call back. They just don't. They're going to go out there. It's going to go out and be just fine. But if you'll put them in a mix, the chances of success are very high.
Right.
And failure goes down dramatically.
Right. I'm not saying it can't, because it quits raining, everything's going to fail.
Yeah.
But if you can get it up, at least get the ground covered.
Get the ground covered and get it cooled off.
You've accomplished one thing.
Yeah. You remember last month we talked about the soil surface. If it's 100 degrees ambient air temperature, the soil surface can be 145 on bare ground or wheat stubble, something like that. And in a 1 foot tall or 2 foot tall cover crop, it's going to be closer to 80 or 85 degrees.
And that's a lot of difference.
It's a huge amount of difference when you're talking about not killing microbes, because they're going to start dying off at about 105 degrees at the soil temperature.
I did see a deal yesterday on one of the agricultural websites that I get, and it was talking about, you know, going into a drought, knowing that we were going into a drought this year. I mean, they were predicting it. And they were talking about the problem is some of these ranchers and farmers, not all of them, but some of them, would graze their pasture down to nothing. And then we go into a drought, and there's no growth to come back, even with a little shower, and doing exactly what you said. It bakes the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your grasses, your normal grasses, whether it's native or Bermuda or Plains Blue Stem, it's hard for that to recover. You're not planting a crop. That's a basically a permanent crop you got right there.
That's right. And I think if everybody can remember 2011.
I do.
And I don't want to see that again. But everybody was trying to hang on to their cattle. They grazed their native ground way too hard and way too long, trying to hang on to their cattle. And the broomweed came in and took over.
Yep.
The universities will tell you, up until that point, you can't kill native grass without a mow board plow. Pretty sure we learned in 2011 that's not true.
That was a myth.
Yeah, we can kill it with drought, overgrazing, and weed pressure.
Right.
And that's what happened. And you're not going to apply any fertilizer to native grass because the root system is too primitive. It doesn't recognize it, so you're wasting your money doing that. And really and truly, most of those fields are too rough to get over anyway.
Right.
So that's probably a good thing that you can't, because people would do it if they could. And it's just not the right thing to do.
Right. Well, Kent, we ran out of time, and we got to come back and do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. And thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me.
And you guys have any, if you need any cover crop stuff and your seeds mixed up, SEI Agritech is right here in Elk City. What is that? What's that address?
1400 South Randall.
Yeah, I knew it was Randall. I just didn't know the number. Well, anyway, you can go down there and get you some, because I'm going to be visiting here pretty quick. I got some seed that I want to put in, and he's got some stuff to mix in with it. So, anyway, thanks again, Kent. And he's with SEI Agritech, and Chancey and I guess Carter too, will be back here with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast right after this.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The first time I ever saw a flyer for XIT Auctions, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called it Exit Auctions, and I said it on air while hosting Tradio, which made it pretty embarrassing. Aubrey Latham had to call up here at the station and make sure I knew how to say it correctly. XIT is moving a lot of property and a lot of farm equipment. For all the info, go to their website, xitauctions.com. xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Okay, welcome back. 65 degrees. As I said earlier, we got 1.42 inches here in Elk City. Before I get into the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, let's see what some totals are. I got some replies back for some people. Looks like at Tipton, they got 4.85 inches, Hobart 1.15, Bessie 1.5. Butler, didn't your grandma and grandpa live up there?
Yes, they do.
Where do they live at up there?
Butler.
I know that. Whereabouts from Butler?
Go a mile south, and then you cut back a mile east.
Oh, okay. Not too far from the lake,
no.
Huh? Anyway, they got 5.03 inches. Camargo is 0.62. And Cheyenne 1.8, and actually Texas has a mesonet now, and I can actually look at some of the stuff over there. Pampa's got 2.43, Miami got 3.4, Canadian 0.14, Wellington 2.79, Memphis over 3 inches, and Goodlett over 3 inches, and Odell right there on the border of Oklahoma and Texas over 4 inches at 4.41. All right, let's get back to the Long Ranger here. Coming to you live for the Hobart Farm and Garden today. 80% chance of rain, likely all day. 72 for a high tonight. 50% chance of rain tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, 70 degrees tomorrow night. Another chance of rain at 20%. Friday, 30% chance, 74 for a high. Saturday, 20% chance, not much, but 84 for a high. And then it's going to warm back up Sunday and we'll be almost 90 degrees at 89. So that's the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And we got 3 or 4 minutes left. What's the plans after Iowa? Because according to the rumor I heard, your dad said that you guys were going to go wherever you wanted to go. So where are we going?
Like on a vacation?
No, hog showing.
Oh, hog showing.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know we were going on a vacation. Well, we've got 15, or I have 15 or 16 on feed for the state fair, Tulsa and Kansas City. We're going to try to hit as many jackpot shows as we can, since this is my last set of summer pigs, since I'll be a senior. But after Pork Expo, plans are just County Fair, State Fair, Tulsa, and then American Royal.
That's going to be the only major road trip is Iowa.
The only major one will be Iowa.
Well, it's still pretty good.
It's a pretty good drive.
Yeah, it's a pretty good drive up there. Carter, are you going? Yeah, you're going to have to, because nobody can babysit you, right?
I actually don't think he's going to Iowa with us.
You staying with Paul Toad?
Maybe. I'm not sure yet.
You got a girlfriend I don't know about?
No.
So, anyway, so you think you're going to stay anyway. Well, somebody's got to take care of the farm, because your dad's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll learn to drive the Swather by then. Huh?
I hope so.
You been fishing lately?
No. They're all dry.
Oh, they are. Even the one over at Hex?
Those aren't dry. I just haven't had time to go.
So I heard a rumor.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he knows what's coming. I heard this rumor, and nobody had answered their phone over there when you guys were hauling hay over there. And somebody showed up to check on you, and you and your helper hauling hay were fishing. Is this true?
Wait, what?
When you was over there hauling hay at Hex?
Yeah.
Nobody can get a hold of you on the phone or wouldn't answer something. What, there's anything to the story, or was you guys fishing? Did you fish any time while you was hauling hay?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
What was you guys doing, swimming? I might have got the story wrong.
Oh,
here we go.
I went with a buddy to look for some of his cows and feed them. And I left my phone in his pickup.
Oh, okay.
And I think my dad tried to call me when I was moving hay and I didn't have it. So.
Yeah, so you sent your dad into panic mode. Probably.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we got just a minute left. Jancy's getting ready to go down in the production room with me. So everybody needs to listen tomorrow, because in the morning, right before the morning show with Nathan and Landry, and right before Tradio comes on tomorrow, because the agriculture update is going to be brought to you by Jancy Ripito, not Jimmy Clark.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, I'm going to teach her how to cut her own production. And it says it's raining on the Taylor Ranch, has been all morning. It's good today instead of tomorrow, because I know that they are going to be AI-ing cows tomorrow. So, because I'm going to go up there and join them tomorrow. And there's a lot going on with everything. And thank you for reading that Taylor Ranch beef deal, because they do have some really good beef. And there's a lot of good homegrown beef grown around here. But Taylor Ranch is the best of the best. And you know what music means?
I think it's time to go.
What does it say? What did you say?
The end.
It's the end. It is. Thanks for listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark and
Jancy Ripito and Carter Ripito.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a blessed day.
Number one for new country.
KECO, Elk City.